Okay, off to a little rough start. My name's Kurt Spanberg. I'm a solutions architect with Magenium Solutions. And we want to speak about Microsoft Dynamics CRM 2016. It's really a great pleasure to have the Dynamics products showcased here at Ignite for the first time. But the Dynamics division has been around for quite some time with Microsoft. We even had our own site, Microsoft Business Solutions. And I started with Microsoft CRM in 2002. It was hardly a product. And it was very much like if you were to go back to Windows 3.1. That's what it would be like. But now it has been quite a ride. So once again, we're very happy to showcase this to people. How many of you have ever had anything to do with Microsoft CRM? Ah, a good audience. How about any ERP application like Great Plains, Navision, Solimar? There we go. Wow. So we have people who are interested in this. Well, we expected to have an audience that wasn't so Dynamics-centric. So perhaps some of this you'll know. And if you don't, if somebody are new, they're newly initiated, well, that's fine too. And then you'll have new people to speak to because we want to grow this technology. Now, as to tool making, there was a little girl who was in front of a bowl of chicken noodle soup. And, you know, and she was trying to take this spoon and try to get the noodles on top, and they keep on slipping off. And so all of a sudden she sees her crackers next to her, and she takes a cracker and she puts it into the broth. And then she slowly starts to ladle and get a couple of noodles on top of that. And then she takes the other cracker and puts it on top of that, puts her spoon under it, puts it to her mouth, and she gets a nice mixture of noodles, crunch, and broth. Her father looks at this, and his first reaction to that is to say, stop playing with your food. But he pauses. And he notices that was quite a little innovation for a little girl. So he says, what are you doing, honey? And she says, I'm making a soup sandwich, Daddy. And he said to himself, that was very innovative. What does that mean? Well, from the time we're very young, and also our ancestors as well, we've always made tools. We saw a goal, we looked around for something, whatever we had on hand, and we made tools from other tools. Now, today, we're advanced so much. Most of us have been to a home center. We look in and we see aisles and aisles of parts, materials, tools, appliances. You know, for the tech person, Microsoft CRM Online is just like that home center. When you first enter it, it's almost overwhelming. But there's so much to see. It's not a simple application anymore. We want to talk about some of the things that are in this pretty much a cavalcade of a home center of applications that are within CRM. Sort of like the power tour aisle of CRM. Light stuff. You know, when you walk into a home center, say it's Home Depot, or I'm going to give them a plug, I guess, you're not going to go and get the most expensive, powerful, professional tool. No, you're going to go in with and go in for the first time and get a decent electric screwdriver, or maybe a sander, or a spray painter. And why? Well, like when you move into a new house or an apartment, you're not going to leave the walls just white. You're going to make changes to it. That's the nature of human beings. And in business, changes are always happening. Now, why is CRM good for that? Well, these tools will allow you to quickly make changes. Gone are the days when you have to customize something, and it's going to cost you a lot. Quick experience. A friend of mine who is TSP with Microsoft, they were doing a demo, and the owner of the very large company was late to the meeting. So when he got into the meeting, he heard the word customize. And immediately he got upset because he said, if it doesn't do what we need it to do right out of the box, then we don't want it. And that's kind of like a reactionary kind of comment. But what does that show? It shows that just a few years ago, when somebody said that they had to customize an application, right away a business owner would say, this is going to cost me a fortune. And in the kind of VARs that I was working with a few years ago, say 10 years ago, we were also looking to make that fortune and charge them a fortune with coding it. But so much has changed. Now, when we speak to these kinds of people, we have to assure them that this is an application that can quickly help you to make some basic changes to the application to be customized for your business. Microsoft CRM, I would say it's one of the most comfortable applications to make changes in that I've ever seen. But only to a certain extent. The tools we're going to examine today are for pretty easy stuff. Still, there's a lot of heavy lifting that can be done. And that's going to take some very, very good and professional code, and code that should be written where it's upgradable with the rapid cadence of the system. So we want to speak to you about calculated fields, roll-up fields, business rules, views and advanced finds, make queries, and if time permits, we'll speak a little bit about reporting. Calculated fields. I hope some of you have used them. If you haven't, what are they about? Well, they're used to make calculations between fields that contain data that can be processed in this way through the normal arithmetic type of functions. But in addition to that, they can also be used on date functions. Now, those of you who have been into SSRS, anybody use SQL reporting services? Right? You probably are very, very familiar with some of the concepts there, like different days, right? Date part, things like that. And you've created calculated fields in SSRS, and you put them into a report. One of the great things about CRM is that you can download a basic report from CRM, get that RDL down to your workstation, and then you can use your T-SQL skills to enhance this, and have the enhancements there, put it back up to CRM in the cloud, publish it, and now you've extended the functionality of CRM. So now that's the idea behind XRM thinking, where it could be just customizing a field within the system, or it could be customizing a report and being able to display data in new ways that can't be done online necessarily. Now, this is being pointed out to tell you something. Lots of people that I introduced to CRM Online in the cloud, particularly developers or good SQL developers, they feel like their hands are being cut off. But they have to realize that with the right methodologies, there's a way through the wormhole to get past all that, and you can actually see that you're really dealing with SQL up there in the cloud. So calculated fields, once again, they cover the basic math operations, and they include if-else type conditional operators and filters. So you can nest them pretty well, and I would say you should probably try to keep them simple. With all of this technology, you don't want to stress the system too much until you're sure that the operation can be taken by a lot of people. Now, as you can see, I'm mouseless, so we'll have to use this. These fields are a quick way to get web resource type results. If you're familiar with web resources in CRM, they're a means of using JavaScript to act on a form level. This form level is good to think about doing your implementations in, because it's very, very good on the client side. It's quick. Gets a quick response. And with certain types of users, you know, they can prompt the user to save the changes to a record that perhaps have not happened yet. One of the things, though, about calculated fields is that there's a cost. You know, everything has a price, so there's no free lunch. Now, what you're seeing here is a view of system jobs in CRM. And you've probably noticed that, oh, look at that. They're calculated roll-up fields. They could be calculated fields. And they cost something. You have a certain amount of storage in the cloud. Every time that you have calculated fields, and they're recalculating all the time when you touch a record, even if you don't change any data, this shows up as a system job. So an administrator will have to be pretty sharp to use the bulk delete tools set up in Microsoft CRM to manage the data that's being used. So this way you have your data for the actual data that's going to be a benefit to you rather than have all these logs in the background. And unfortunately, I go into systems. We're looking here at, this is just a test system, and it's over 3,600 records in no time. So you really have to keep your eye on this. So the bulk delete session that you can create can help you along with this. You can build queries to single out certain data. And if you need this kind of data, you can also use a package, a sys package with KingswaySoft to move that data up to another type of database and get it off the cloud. All doable, but remember, this is the cost of doing business when you're using calculated fields. Let's see what it's like to make a calculated field. Now, we're going to give a backstory to this a little bit. We have a company, and they sell a subscription software in the cloud, and it's users, disk, quota, very much like CRM in the cloud. But some of the accounts are not paying for everything that they're using. So we're trying to track this with two fields, the number of users purchased and number of users that are not paid for. Let's see how this calculated field is done. Okay, this should launch. We see we have a field here called actual users. Notice that it's a whole number, and it's going to be a calculated field. We have a minimum value of zero, and we're very inclusive with a max value of 100,000, although it's unlikely that most companies are going to have 100,000 users. So we're going to edit this field to show you what it's like the business end of calculating a field. Here we have set actual users. We're going to add a condition. The first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that the first field that we're going to put in the equation has data. We don't want to have a zero and get a wrong type of figure in our actual field. So we'll go down the list here and we'll pick up one of our custom fields there in the system. That will be number of users purchased. And then we just do a simple plus. And then we find total users not paid for. After this, we do a simple save and close. And now the field is updated. But people can't see it yet with its actual functionality. We'll close the field properties. And you're looking at the form in its editing phase. And there we see that field is there. So we'll do a quick publishing. Publishing then will allow these changes to be seen to the forms that are being used by the users. And that functionality in that field will now be available. OK, so we have Beverly. Beverly from the Enterprise. We notice that her parent account is Mr. Picard, Captain Picard. She has 55 users that she's purchased, but she's over by 27. So there's 82 actual users. Beverly has some explaining to do. We'll call her on her cell phone, but in the 24th century, you see they're using 128-bit phone numbers. That's why you can't remember it. You'll just have to go, "Hello, Beverly?" So although you see a lot of white space in the form, this is totally configurable, so if you needed to change that form a little bit, you could. Now let's talk about roll-up fields. Roll-up fields are a different animal, because as calculated fields give you immediate results, roll-up fields do not. Yet, they work well when records are in a hierarchy. Now, I just mentioned Captain Picard and Beverly. Just think of the Enterprise, the crew. So who's the parent account? It's Picard. Everybody else is a child account underneath that. When this is set up properly and you can get a hierarchical view of the data, then roll-up fields shine. Because then you can choose to use that self-referential relationship that can be put on a CRM entity so that it can look at itself and everything associated with itself. Now, there's three kinds of normal relationships that we see in a development environment. There's one to many, me speaking to you, many to one, you doing the evals at the end of a session, or many to many, where a group of people get together and with some construction conversation rules, they can reach a consensus or a quorum on something and share data that way. But a self-referential relationship is a different kind of relationship. Out of the box, the account entity has this relationship. But you still can make a custom entity and assign this kind of relationship within even the custom entity. So that gives you a lot of flexibility to use these kinds of roll-up fields. Nevertheless, there are limitations with roll-up fields. Like everything else that seems to be easy when you start something, in any application, there's a cost. Now they work, once again, they work well with hierarchy, but they are not real time. And the default for them to actually refresh is 12 hours. How they came up with that, nobody knows. In certain circumstances, there's a couple of tricks where you can actually get that to refresh to get the data eventually. And it seems to me, in my experience, depending on the way you use them, very often you'll just have to wait an hour before they're refreshed. Now, yes, that's not real time. But in many applications, an hour is pretty, pretty good. For instance, one time with a Sarbanes-Oxley project, we were only able to get the entire application replicated to another instance every hour. There was a lot of changes that had to be made, a lot of security had to be changed to get that to happen. But when the auditors came and saw that, they said, an hour is better than usual. So when you hear that 12 hours, don't be scared off, because the rewards are good. And I mentioned the crew of the enterprise before. I imagine everybody who bought a user, Picard down, you want to get a number. And you want to get this number of him and everybody else and how many users they've paid for. And how would you do that? It would be a long string if you had to go to reference every record and then every single field in that record. Be a long string. But with a roll-up field, you roll it up and get the results. Once again, they also affect your storage space. So be aware of that. And once they run, if you don't need the fact that they ran, make sure that your bulk delete operations and the queries, you delete those records out of the system to save your space. It's a common thing in many of the clients that I have where all of a sudden they see they're 97% used up in their space. And where is it? It's in the system jobs. Now you see very quickly a clear picture of a roll-up field. A roll-up field, you notice the source entity is the account. And you have a chance to choose whether you're going to use a hierarchical type of view of it or not. And there, the relationship type, not one to many, many to one, but it's that self-referential type that really zeroes in on who is associated with the parent record. And as we see a couple of filters there, we see how they're nested. We want to make sure the status is active. We want to make sure that certain things that we're going to roll up have data. We're not always going to count them, but we want to make sure that the filters supply the criteria of what we're looking for. Let's see how this one will work, and we're hoping that this computer works well. Okay. All right, we're looking at a roll-up field called Total Parent-Child Users of Account. You see the display name, where you have a schema name. You see that it's a roll-up. We're going to look for a whole number. And we're going to edit this to show the business end of how we did this. Let's take a look at how we choose whether it's going to be hierarchical or not. We have an account. And you see we have the option to change that if we wanted to. But we'll just lock this in. and then we'll add a couple of filters. Want to make sure the number of requesters. We'll make sure that has a parameter. Number of users purchased. This guy's having a problem with his mouse. And we want to make sure that total users not paid for also has data before we go on. Contains data, we'll lock that in. And of course, we have a sum. We can do several kinds of operators on there, but now we're summing actual users. So we're going to save and close. We really didn't make any changes there, so we don't have to republish it. So we'll just close the field properties very quickly. We see we have that on our form. Let's save and close. Let's see what the form looks like now. Ah, okay, everybody between Picard and all the other members of the Enterprise crew, they have a sum, they have 682 users that are being used. But total users not paid for, 127. Now, if you're an account manager, you're going to go out and find out why aren't these being paid for. This is revenue that's being lost. We're looking here at a tree view, the hierarchical view, hierarchical visualization of how this would look. Of course, right from here, you could just fly out to the actual records from this view. Now, some of the back problems with roll-up fields are this. The whole organization that you have of your CRM instance, you can only have 100 roll-up fields. But you can only have 8 to an entity. The account entity has at least more than a dozen forms. So it's necessary to be judicious in the use of these. Now that may change in the future. Once again, they're not real-time, and the roll-up recalculation is set to 12 hours by default. Yet they are still useful because they give you a total sum of what's going on between many different account records. Something else we want to use as a great tool is our views and advanced find. We're looking at My Active Accounts as one of the default views that comes with CRM. And we're going into our advanced find utility. We notice that we have a chance to make a new view here. And we're going to save this. We're going to call it Picard. It's interesting. In this view, though, you'll see that Picard is not in the view, even though it's a hierarchical view. And we'll see why that happens. The reason why that's going to happen is because we're going to look at parent accounts that have data. Picard doesn't have a parent, so he's not included. So we'll choose him. And save this and look at the results. And there we have it. We have all those accounts that are in that tree. Then we want to get a better view. We can change that. We can take columns away from there, and we can add other columns for our needs. Now, this is just to make a view that you might see on CRM, but we have another purpose to this. Okay, we'll choose the ones that we're really interested in. We see a number of users. And one of the quick ways you can get the custom fields that you've created is just look for the publisher prefix. In this case, by default, it's new, but you could add other publisher prefixes. You'll notice this, that there's a lot of them that can be made. For instance, when you load the Field 1 utility, the Field 1 appliance in CRM, you'll see literally dozens and dozens of new custom fields that are created with a new prefix. Now we can just save this view we'll check out and we'll see that we might want to move a few things over. We want to change the properties. You can also widen the fields for the view. But that would be for just the CRM view that you'd see in the application. You can change this, though. You can change this, and then you can make a Fetch XML file, bring this down once again to your station where you're using SQL Server reporting tools, and you can create from the data set that you get from the Fetch XML and make a new report, and a new view, a new set of views. Very, very helpful. Now, let's see how else we can work with calculated fields. A little backstory, let's look at what's going on with Commander Data. Commander Data, he hasn't been keeping up his support training contracts, or he's behind. So if you notice there in the support training contracts area with that tab, he's a little bit behind, 84 days behind in support. He has just 84 days left remaining and 150 days remaining in his training port. So what we've done is we made a calculation fields to compare those two. But we had to get a certain kind of field working. We're going to back up really quick. Here we go. We're looking at this form, but we're going to show you, I'm going to edit it to see what we did. Now, you'll notice that there's a created on date in CRM every time you make a record. But what date is usually missing? Today's date. That's the one that's missing. So how do we get there? Well, once again, we're looking at these dates. We're looking at this information that's being generated by the calculated fields. And also, we see that his support has expired. So let's launch the editor of the form, and let's see what we have there. Notice also that he is a standalone. He has a different kind of relationship than the most others. Now we're looking at the editable area of the form, and we can see how these forms are on the fields are on the form. So let's open some of these up and see what they look like. We have our service expiration date. We'll look at the details and edit that. Notice that it's set to user local and date only. The reason why this is important is because if you're going to compare date fields, they have to have the same qualities. For instance, if you had a field that was time zone independent, another field that was not, if you used it within SSRS or in CRM, you would get an error trying to compare that. So we're going to look at today's date. How do you get today's date in CRM? Well, let's take a look at that. We'll edit this. There was a developer who was struggling with this for a long time. Once again, user local, let's edit the field and see how we got today's date. It's actually very, very simple, something that most people know in Excel or Word, if this ever renders, we'll see this. Okay, we're going to set today's date. What should we set it to? Well, you see very quickly, we're setting it to now. Something so common. So I've seen people, they struggle with this so much, and it's very, very simple. Set it to now, today's date. But there's a couple of things you can do with this. Perhaps you SSRS people, you know how you could add days or add hours to something. Well, if you wanted to track hours, you would just set this to add hours, zero, and then today's date, which is now. And then you could not only have the day, date only, but you could also have the hours. So if you're going to compare hours, you can use that as well. All right. Looks like this guy's done. So we need to see that we're going to compare these particular date fields to today's date. Come on, you can do it. Edit the fields so we can show you the calculations in there. They're very simple, but when you see them, they start to make sense right away. Okay. While waiting for this to render, what we did is we compared the service expiration date to today's date and got a whole number from that. If you were odd, you would get a negative number. So getting them in the right order is important. So there we have it, different days, today's date, and then the new expiration date, service expiration date. Put those together, and we'll lock that in a moment. Notice once again the prefixes that are the publishers. So we'll save that guy. Close our system there. Shut up the field properties. And we see that we have this set both in the service expiration and in the contract expiration date, the training one. And there we have it. We get results from that. We didn't have to open a Visual Studio. It went very, very quickly. He's still expired now. So we have to get him up to date in our records. These tools can get you started, but there is a lot more to CRM than just calculated fields, roll-up fields, advanced find views, a lot more than that. There are things like tools like the Ribbon Workbench, Power Apps, Click Dimensions, which is for email marketing. These are all large appliances. Let's go back to the analogy of being in that big store. You can see the small power tools, but then what about the big jobs? Well, you get so far with the small stuff, but then you have to start looking at some of the big stuff. So I would advise that if you're a new user, take a look at Inside Views. They're very, very useful because they will go out, and see you have an account, you put a new account in, it goes out and grabs all the information about that company and pulls it into CRM, a great, great research tool. Ribbon Workbench by Scott Durow will help you make buttons and label changes and attach code to it for other kinds of changes in your application. Once again, Click Dimensions is a fantastic add-on. It really works along with the machinery inside CRM. And you can use workflows and still use these calculated fields, all these other smaller tools to enhance that experience as well. And Power Apps. If you saw the Power Apps session, you'll see how Power Apps are now an integral part of working with CRM. And why is that important? Because it used to be that you needed an application, say, for a month, and it cost you a lot of money to make that Power App. And now you can just make it, and then when you're done with it, save as a template, throw it away. Another convenience of these kinds of tools, you remember I emphasized that sometimes they will stress the system and take up space. So when you're done with these tools, say you needed to have these typical kind of fields in order to make changes. Well, now you can just remove them. You know, it's not like a fish trap where a fish gets it out. So now you can reduce the stress on your system when you don't need the same tool anymore. And that's another plus. And all it is a matter of removal and republicization of the entity form. And it's as simple as that. So you can see this really gets you someplace rather quickly. But to reiterate, for the heavy lifting, Microsoft CRM 2016 has a wonderful, diverse, and rich development platform where you could use CRM plugins, C#, JavaScript with work resources, or web resources, rather. And you'll be able to reach things in your company in a very, very quick manner and change rapidly. So think about now about the soup sandwich. The little girl that was such an innovator. Well, 30 years later, here she is managing a CRM system, and she sees these tools. And somebody might say to her, why are you messing around with the application? But all of a sudden, they see what she's come up with. And they say, that was very, very innovative. Okay, she's 35 years old now, but she's an innovator. And she learned how to make tools starting when she was very, very young. Hopefully, with CRM, you can continue tools and be a tool maker just like she was. Thanks for coming by. Sorry for the little problems in the system here.